How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. It is a Tuesday. By the time everybody is listening to this, it's Tuesday. It's Lottery Tuesday. And if you are freaking out about the Lakers lottery stuff, you are absolutely not alone. Based on social media alone, just like on my timeline, the people who I follow who care about the Lakers, let's just say my timeline is in a dark place. People are willing to do some really bad things to make sure that the Lakers keep their pick. I am joined, as I said, by Harrison Fagan. The way today's show is going, I thought you were going to take that and run with it.
I didn't know what to say to take the baton there. But I guess where I can take it is there is good news for you guys listening today. We have Brandon Ingram on the podcast.
Yes. So be excited about that. So we're going to preview the lottery on the front end of this. We're going to talk about ZipRecruiter, who is sponsoring today's show. Thank you very much to ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers to try it for free. As always, find our show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen, and Roll Tune, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. That's the usual stuff. Today's show, what we're going to do is we're going to preview the lottery. We're just going to take you through the brass tacks of what you have to know for this evening's festivities. We're going to preview that, and then we're going to talk to Brandon. That's going to be on the other side of the break, and then after the Brandon Ingram interview, Harrison and I are going to talk about Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson, what they have said about, you know, not necessarily needing the pick, or, you know, that the Lakers aren't necessarily going to be as put back as people might think if they wind up losing the pick tonight by the time everybody's listening to this. So I know that sounds really confusing and stuff, but just bear with us. I promise we're going to make this work. Harrison,
it'll make sense.
Yeah. So let's start though by previewing the lottery, what we absolutely need to know. Harrison, everybody obviously knows by this point, one would imagine, the odds. It's 46.9% chance that the Lakers keep their pick.
As you should probably think about it, a better than 50% chance that they lose their pick.
Yeah, so just so everybody...
You're welcome, pessimists.
Yeah, just so everybody is clear, we should technically be surprised when the Lakers, if the Lakers keep their pick...
I'm sorry for triggering everybody that's driving their car right now.
It wasn't like last year, because the Lakers, it was top five protected, right?
No, last year it was also top three protected. The year before it was top five.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Boy, I was way more confident than I should have been.
Well, the Lakers had the second best odds last year.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. That's weird. I thought it was... never mind. But this year, though, if the Lakers wind up keeping their pick, people should legitimately be surprised at that, though Magic has said that he would be surprised if they don't keep their pick, right? Which people...
well, that's via Luke Walton, and he said it with a smile, so I think they were joking around and just trying to be confident, but yeah.
I think it's funny that people on the internet are so, like, they're so willing to roll with the conspiracy theories that they heard that, and I had people angry. I saw people angry because you and I both have access to the Silver Screen and Roll mentions and stuff. Did you notice the same stuff I've been noticing where
it was, people definitely were put angry. Their tinfoil hats on, and that was hilarious. That, like, Luke's comment, you know, like, I knew the way that I phrased it in my headline, like, people would, you know, like, it was just, it sounded like he was, like, really confident they were going to keep their pick, and he did sound confident in the interview, but he wasn't, like, accidentally letting it slip that the lottery is rigged, or was he?
But it's just, it's funny, though, that, like, the NBA has developed this reputation as, for lack of a better example, the WWF, or I guess now it's a WWE, but professional
breaking update.
Yeah, but like it's developed this reputation, and like David Stern had a lot to do with this, I think, with like the frozen envelope theory, and it was weird.
So that, Bill Simmons had a lot to do with this.
Yeah, well, it was weird that David Stern vetoes the Chris Paul trade, and the Pelicans, or well, I guess then it was the Hornets back then, right? No,
they were the Pelicans.
That the Pelicans would just somehow wind up at the very top of the draft after that whole debacle. You know, like the NBA earned this reputation, and there's a reason why people were so willing to just say, "Oh, the Lakers are keeping their pick," you know. But it's funny that's the way that the league is kind of perceived in how it's rigged, and it would be like it would completely avoid that reputation if they just got rid of the lottery altogether. Like if they just made it like the NFL and said the order by which you suck is the order by which you will be able to draft players. But no, the NBA welcomes this to, I think, a certain
extent. I think that also would lead to more tanking. I understand their reasoning for not doing that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I see both sides of it.
Yeah, but I just, that's how they would, that would end any and all rigging talk, I would think.
True, I just think that there's consequences of making that decision, and I think... that it would lead to more, it would reward tanking more than it's already rewarded.
Yeah. So,
which is why I would not personally be for that.
I'm so sick of all of this lottery stuff. Like we'll talk about Magic and Palinka in a bit about, you know, not, they don't want to rely on luck, and I'll give my thoughts then about this stuff. But yeah, the whole like riggings and conspiracy theories, yeah, and stuff, like, come on.
I'm tired of talking about the lottery, too, but that being said, let's talk about tonight's lottery. Do you think, gut feeling, if you had to pick right now, let's both say it, but all right. Do you think the Lakers keep their pick?
No.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm on the side of math. I don't think that they're keeping it. And everybody may get to laugh at me at the next podcast, and I honestly would welcome it because it would mean that everybody would be in a good mood again, so...
I'm rooting for the Lakers to lose their pick because I don't want Lonzo Ball to be a Laker.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hot take. Hottest of all takes I think I've ever given.
Wow. Okay. I guess, I don't know. Are we going to end on that and just throw to the Ingram interview? Like,
I guess we should. All right. Let's talk really quickly about ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Because I am. Do you know where...
Wait.
Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you
can. What are you hiring for?
Nothing. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites, including social media networks such as Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to the office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners, well, I guess technically it's our listeners, but... my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers.
Okay, so I'm starting, like, I kind of think you're kidding because I think we're friends, but, like, how much you're kidding about letting me go is starting to worry me, like, a little bit.
Oh, you're fine. We're about to have a crucial, really good for our brand interview with Brandon Ingram, who is one of the cornerstone pieces of the Lakers.
Arguably the cornerstone piece, depending on how you feel about Russell and maybe this pick.
Yeah, and you know for a fact you and I are both going to be talking to this guy. So, you know, it's just a, you know, it's not like we had a running joke for like a solid week that you weren't included in any of these interviews. Let's just go ahead and talk to Brandon Ingram and you'll feel a lot better about yourself afterward.
Yeah, I guess I would only be worried if I wasn't on the interview with Ingram.
Yeah, that would be that would probably be a red flag. Let's talk to Brandon though. All right, how's it going, Brandon?
Going good.
How's the off season treating you so far?
It's going pretty good. Got a chance to get some time off a little bit to get back and reflect on the season, of course, and some things I could have done better overall. How I thought the season was, and of course, I got back in the gym with some of the guys today.
Great. That's great stuff. You are joining us. You're on the Locked On Lakers podcast, and this is Brandon Ingram. You're joining us on behalf of Don Joy Performance Equipment, and it looks to me like there's some great products here. Is there anything in particular that you hope Don Joy brings to the table to keep you healthy as you go through what should be a lengthy and exciting career?
I think for me, I don't have a lot of problems injury-wise, but this year I'm having a little knee problem, knee tendonitis, and it wasn't something that I didn't have. They actually had something for me that I could use to help my knee, help me not feel anything when I played or practiced, and when I started using the Trizone knee sleeve, it just definitely helped with me when I rehabbed. When I wasn't playing for a couple games, and when I got back on the court, I felt nothing.
That's great. Do you know if they have anything for fat, out of shape podcast hosts?
I'm not sure, but I can ask.
that's great stuff. I'm asking for a friend, obviously. I'm in the utmost shape that I can tell you. But so you've started this off season, and I guess popular take is that, you know, you need to work on the strength and conditioning, and you need to add a little bit of muscle here and there. Have you gotten sick of that refrain, or is it something that you've kind of welcomed as a challenge?
I hear it a lot. Mm-hmm. And kind of just go about it a different way, just using my resources around me, the trainers, the coaches, whoever can help me out, and things like that, of course, with the Lakers or around my family, around my mentors, just helping me out, just getting stronger. Of course, I'm not trying to put on a whole bunch of weight, but just getting stronger where I can play to the best of my ability.
It's kind of interesting because when we watched you play throughout the year, you actually seem to welcome contact, especially for somebody with your frame that, you know, a lot of people came into the season expecting you to kind of have to take a step back when you would get kind of pushed out there on the court. But you seem to really welcome that. Is that something that we should look forward to for the rest of your career?
It's just the way I play. Mm-hmm. Just playing hard, being physical. I think a lot stronger than a lot of people may see, or you can get a different view about it, and you could change it up a little bit. And you play against me, you think I'm stronger than what people really may say I am, and it's just a different perspective.
Yeah, it was actually really fun to watch because there'd be stretches where, especially like when we would watch, it was very evident, you know, you'd call for the ball in the post and based on how you were feeling that game, it was pretty evident when you had the confidence really going. Was that something, confidence that is, that kind of wavered throughout the year, or is it just something that you kind of expected being a rookie in a really competitive league?
Of course, my confidence went sky high. Mm-hmm. At a point, my focus and mentality was different going in at the All-Star. But I think that's just repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Repetition from practice, what me and the coaches do daily. And finally, it got to a point where I felt comfortable on the court doing some of the moves I've done in practice repetitively over and over again. Just got to a point where the players trusted in me, the coach trusted in me to make plays for myself and my teammates, and everything just went good.
Yeah, it was fun to watch kind of as the season went along, because it looked like you really it was pretty easy to see when it was all clicking for you, especially in the second half of the year, that you felt a lot more confident out there. Is that something that heading into this off season that you just kind of have to remind yourself, you know what, I can really do this. This really isn't that big a thing to me. Was that something that a thought that actually crossed your mind, or was it always just, nah, you know what, I'm really good at basketball. I've been really good at basketball my whole life. I'm just going to figure this out.
Well, I always thought I would figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
As a basketball player and listening to other veterans in this league, I knew it was going to be some bumps in the road. And I just continued to work hard. I continued to listen to the coaches because they knew it was a process also. And I think eventually when you keep doing things over and over and over again, you start to pick up on it. I think the way my mind is, I just have a mentality where I'm going to try to just be the best at whatever I'm doing. So I think along with the coaches and some of my teammates, it just helped me out as the season went along.
That's great to hear. So I'm going to change the direction of this a little bit and kind of talk about this offseason and work you're putting in. There has been a lot of talk. It was in the exit interviews, and then, you know, it's kind of continued at every step along the way that, you know, either Rob Pelinka or Magic Johnson would like you to work with Kobe. Is there anything specifically that you would really hope to take from his game?
I'll just building up on information. Let's see how I can go into my second year. Just trying to see maybe different things he did in his second year, the position he was in, how he handled it. Just the way he looks at the game. I just want to see it from his point of view and see how much easier it is to score the basketball or on the defensive end, what I need to look for, and just different points.
Yeah, it was. It's kind of funny the way Lakers fans kind of look back on Kobe's career, because when he was a rookie, he struggled early on as well, and people tend to forget that because of the great career he wound up having. But it is tough for a rookie to figure some things out. So I guess you talked about Kobe in his second year compared to his first year, and learning what he learned moving forward. It would be cool to hear some of the things that he learned. In that transition period. Last question for me, and then we'll get you out of here. The Lakers lottery is obviously Tuesday night. A lot going on for the Lakers organization there. Do you have any kind of lucky rabbit's foot that you're going to be rubbing on, or anything that you're going to be doing to try to help the Lakers karmically there?
Honestly, I really haven't thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can only do what I can control. So, I just go in jail, play basketball, whatever happens, whatever happens. Of course, we have a chance for a top draft pick and a good player in this draft. But I can only control what I can control. So whatever happens, happens.
All right. Well, I'll rub an extra rabbit's foot, or I'll wear an extra jersey for you just to help you out there. Does that sound like a deal?
I can do.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ben, for joining us here on Locked On Lakers. We greatly appreciate you spending time with us. You're here on behalf of Don Joy. I'm going to check out the website and see if I could find anything that might be made specifically for midlife podcast hosts who might be trying to get back into shape. And it looks like they have some great products out there.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, and best of luck moving forward with this off season. Great job on a great first season with the Lakers.
Thank you.
All right. So that was Brandon Ingram. He was very kind with his time.
Again.
What? What?
Really? Really? You made me sit there for like 20 minutes before calling me back, and I thought that we were going to be on with Ingram, and then it's just you.
Oh, I never called you back?
I despise you.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, it was a really good interview. I'm really happy about the way that went, and Brandon was really great with the questions that I asked him, so... You want to get back to the...
I'm glad. I'm happy for you. It's a good thing for the podcast. It's like, I'm really glad that I could be a part of that.
You kind of were. You were there in spirit.
I hate you so much. we gotta address, because you said in the intro to this, and then we had to go to the interview with Brandon, because we know what people were really listening for. And those mm-hmm. of you that stayed past and are listening to this now, you're the true fans. We like you most.
Mm-hmm.
And not to play favorites, but you dropped a hot take. You want the Lakers to lose their pick in 2017 and 2019 just so that you don't have to write about LaVar Ball.
Yes. I'm so sick of this guy.
Hold on. I'll ask the follow-up questions here, because now I got to put my interview skills on display because you didn't let me into that interview. Why do you hate the Lakers?
Because they've made me – since I started covering them, they've had their three worst seasons in their entire franchise's history.
So I guess the real question is, why do the Lakers hate you?
Yeah, like I think that's a way more important question to ask. No, I mean, look, I think there's already fatigue with LaVar Ball out there. And I think – so
– And I've seen, to be fair, I've seen people ask, you know, they're like, why are you covering him? Why are you doing this and that? It's like, it's because it is a thing that people care about. Like, we have metrics. It's something that people want to hear about. And if he's going to continue saying that he wants his son on the Lakers, like, that's news. Like, most of the time, prospects' fathers don't come out there and do that for good reason, because you're alienating other franchises potentially.
I guess, like, when UCLA lost, and actually it's interesting because I also root hardest probably for UCLA basketball. But when UCLA lost, I wanted to look back, despite being disappointed in the fact that UCLA did not win. But I wanted to hear Lonzo Ball for his excuse as to why his family, that he says is incapable of losing, would lose.
LaVar Ball?
Yeah, what I said. Oh, Lonzo. No.
You said Lonzo. Yeah.
I wanted to hear LaVar explain or find his explanation for why UCLA lost despite Lonzo, you know, and he had a great year. Lonzo Ball, you know, this was the most exciting season of UCLA basketball that, frankly, I can really remember since, you know, they had that one stretch where they went, you know, back-to-back-to-back, I think, Final Fours, or back-to-back Final Fours. But even then, those teams were kind of like, Ben Howland was such a hard-ass that, like, it was hard to really like those teams.
Okay, so just to clarify, you don't like Kareem either. You don't like the Lakers or Kareem.
No, Kareem was great, like, back in the... But that was in the 70s.
Yeah, so, like, when you were a kid, right?
This is why you weren't allowed in the interview. So, I found myself, I wanted to hear why this guy, if he was going to come with some excuse as to why UCLA lost, or if he was actually going to cop to, okay, yes, there's enough talent throughout the rest of the country that his son was not going to be enough to single-handedly overcome any kind of talent deficiency that they might run into. And instead, LaVar Ball decided to blame the white guys on the UCLA team, right? And you know, again, I've already talked about the fact that I don't like this guy. That didn't necessarily help that aspect of him. Now, I thought it was honest and I thought it was funny. And a lot of people, I make those jokes all the time. When we used to watch Luke Walton play on the Lakers, my dad, who is a white guy, would always freak out when the ball would find Luke because, you know, don't pass to the white guy. Nothing good happens when you pass to the white guy. It's just that kind of joke. It was a humorous kind of thing. And, you know, I thought it was funny when LaVar Ball went there too. But then he turned out, you know, it turned out that he was kind of sort of serious about it. And you say, well, all right, that's a little weird.
And then, yeah, I mean, that's definitely not something that the Lakers need right now. That's for sure. But I think that ultimately from a team, I mean, I don't want to write. I'm kind of tired of writing about LaVar Ball, too. Like, I don't particularly want to see Lonzo on the Lakers for that reason. But I would say for the Lakers, like from the Lakers perspective, like for anyone who wants to see them get good again, like, yeah, you should hope they keep this pick. And even if it means drafting Lonzo Ball, even if you're a little bit tired of hearing about his dad.
The best, or I think the funniest way this all plays out is if the Lakers keep their pick and don't pick Lonzo. Like, and like actually pass up on drafting Lonzo. Like,
yeah, because LaVar said today, Monday, when we're recording this, that he's not going to shut up until Lonzo is on the Lakers. So, like, I was joking kind of in my write-up of that. Like, what does that mean if Lonzo doesn't get drafted by the Lakers? Like, does LaVar just keep doing this until he's a free agent? Does he try and force his way there? Like, there's all kinds of crazy scenarios that would be kind of entertaining, to be honest.
Would he blame Pelinka for being white that they didn't
draft? Oh, my. You're not gonna walk away from this. I'm, like, trying to steer you back.
Well, no, but, like, that's kind of the thing, though, is that, like, when UCLA lost, I wanted to hear this guy's reason, if he was going to actually be honest.
Does it shock you that he blamed someone other than his son?
No.
Who is supposedly better than Steph Curry?
Of course not. Of course it didn't shock me at all, right? But I was hoping to be shocked. I was hoping to be surprised in that sense. And, like, like I said on the last show, if Lonzo isn't picked by the Lakers, I think there are going to be a lot of people, and I'm probably going to be among them, who kind of point to LaVar and say, no, the Lakers decided for at least maybe part of this reason is that they didn't want to deal with this guy. And I don't know if he's actually going to have the ability to look at himself in the mirror and say, frick, man, I might have actually really screwed this up. Or if he's going to, you know, call the Lakers soft for passing up on his kid. But I that's where I would actually be interested to hear what he has to say, because he would have the opportunity to shock us all and admit to some kind of blame, some kind of self-blame. And I think that would be interesting.
I think if you're looking for that, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yes. Oh, I absolutely am. I am definitely love barking up the wrong
Team. Okay. All right. Let's talk about if the Lakers keep their pick. What I talked a little bit about this with Bryant, and I gave my thoughts on it. But your thoughts? What do you think they do this summer if they keep the pick? Do you think that just makes them more likely to trade, or like what do you think is going to happen there?
I'm of the opinion, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say the Lakers wind up with Paul George at the end of this offseason, by the end of this offseason.
Man, you just got hot takes all over the place. So you're saying they're going to lose their pick that you don't want, you want them to lose their pick, but that they're going to get Paul George by the end of the summer. They aren't going to wait for free agency.
I want them to lose their pick so that they don't draft Lonzo Ball. Now, if they keep their pick, I don't think they're going to be there to draft. If they do draft Lonzo.
You want
Lonzo,
them to keep the pick, draft Lonzo, and then send him to Indiana.
Oh, my God. That'd be phenomenal.
I think LaVar Ball would actually explode.
More reason that it would be phenomenal. But so I find I think the Lakers as an organization are kind of sort of sick of this long rebuild. I get the sense that
I think so too. I mean, based on the public comments, I don't know. They've talked a little bit about patience, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't know how patient they're actually willing to be.
And I would be, look, if I'm wrong here and they do continue to do the smart thing, because I think the smart thing here is still this long play.
Right? I think the smart thing either way is patience. Are we in agreement on that? Even if they lose the pick, I think it's like imperative that they be patient. I think you have to run it back with these young guys one more year, get as good of a lottery pick as possible, because you aren't getting a first rounder in 2019. That's the last one that's going to grow with this current core.
And also, for those who have kind of done the math on this, if they lose their pick this year and they lose their 2019 pick, that would be the opportunity that they would have to be able to draft LaMelo Ball, I believe, right?
The good news is there's almost no way they can draft all the Ball brothers unless the one that's going to UCLA next year. I forget his name off the top of my head. Yeah. But, huh?
I think it's like Lee Anthony. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Means. Yeah, I think it's Lee Angelo. I think you're right. And so they won't be able to draft all three of Lonzo, LiAngelo, and LaMelo, most likely.
Yeah, and thank God for that.
Although maybe like big three on the Lakers in a couple of years. Like they could bring Chino Hills High School to the NBA.
with the same old coach that LeVar ran out of the...
Yeah, they could hire him just so that LeVar can yell at him from behind the bench.
But what I was going to say, though, is that I think the Lakers, to a certain extent, how can I say this without sounding? Because I've already given two hot takes.
Yeah, man, and we're gonna have to play the hot take sound effect before those, maybe.
Yeah, but I think the Lakers, to a certain extent, are incapable of a long term rebuild. I think
I think on some level you're right. I don't think that they have more than like a couple of, maybe one more year that they're willing to be like patient and let this thing play out, because you're going to start getting pressure from those TV partners like, hey, even if it's not a path that's going to lead to a championship, we need like good basketball that we can sell on the floor.
Yeah. And I also think too, like, why, what would be the point? Now I guess I'll ask the question and then I'll answer it with a minor counter. What would be the point of firing Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak if you're just going to continue to remain patient? Now, the counter to that,
I guess maybe the thought is that they didn't know what they were doing and you want to be patient, and that they also weren't necessarily patient by jumping the gun on Deng and Mozgov. And I jumped into your interview right there because you cut me out of the other one today.
but I think also the point of it, to actually answer the question, the point of it is, as you're finding out, the Lakers were run pretty poorly. Like they had a bartender on their staff.
I love that you're just finding this out now. That's been one of my favorite things of this offseason, that you had no idea that Chaz existed.
Could you imagine how heated I would have gotten, like, if we had the show back in 2012?
And that, yeah, you probably would. You probably wouldn't be like here today. You probably would have just you and LeVar would be like dueling with laser beams coming out of your eyes out of anger in the center of Los Angeles.
I'd be employed by ESPN already.
Jeez.
I think the point of firing those guys while also remaining patient is so that those that Magic and Rob can step in and revitalize the organization and the way it's run. Right. So I answered my own question there, and I think it's kind of cheap of me to do so. But regarding the actual personnel and what they're doing, I think to a certain extent, Magic and Rob are kind of stepping in. And I think especially Magic would love to be the savior who delivers Paul George to the Lakers. Right. Like he would love to be
it's
the guy.
Showtime, baby.
Yeah. Like he would love to be the guy who says, I got this guy in my first offseason, my first full offseason. I maybe could have gotten this guy at the trade deadline if I had more time to work rather than, you know, the one day or so that he basically had to work with before the trade deadline back when he was initially hired. And he didn't even have Rob Pelinka as his official general manager back then, though.
Yeah. Rob Pelinka is going to be key in this when he talks up the Lakers' young prospects to the Pacers' front office in full Rob Lowe from Parks and Rec voice.
We have the best, literally the best young players that you could get for this guy.
Lonzo Ball has the best PR agent of a father that you would get to bring to your franchise in NBA history.
LeVar could even coach.
He once beat MJ in one-on-one. That literally happened.
And this has been the segment
in
which
mind.
This has been the segment in which Harrison and I impersonate Rob Lowe, even though Rob Palenka sounds nothing like Rob Lowe.
Hey, hold on. I've chosen to not listen to Rob Palenka talk. I just read his quotes after. So oh. To me, he still sounds like Rob Lowe, literally.
I need to learn an actual good Rob Palenka voice so that like you can just be completely in the dark as for how this guy sounds, and we can have Rob Lowe talk to Rob Palenka about how Rob Palenka doesn't sound anything like Rob Lowe.
Yes, that'll be a tremendously rated episode, I'm sure.
you were agreeing with me though to a certain extent about the Lakers not being able to stick with this long-term rebuild. Do you think to a certain extent the fan base, because I think it also has to do with the fan base, that like eventually the Lakers fan base is, especially because you and I, we are kind of insulated from the casual fan. I think the people who read all of our stuff and listen to the show tend to be they think differently than the casual fan does, right? And I find that out every time
I think there are very heavily casual fans that don't consume a lot of this stuff. Like, they just look at headlines and things like that. And I think there are, like, a grand majority of them that they just want to watch the Lakers be good again. I mean, you know, like, when you're out and, like, you happen to talk to somebody, like, at the grocery store. Like, for me, it's, like, at school. And people are just tired of watching the Lakers being bad. Like, they don't care if trading for Paul George maybe mortgages the future. It's like they want to watch Paul George. He's really good right now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fun. I get that.
Yeah, I mean, I was at a wedding just on Friday, and when people – I mean, all of my friends know what I do, obviously. But when people, you know, would say – when I'd get introduced to other friends from other parts of this wedding party that I went to, they, you know, they'd say, oh, yeah, Fred writes about the – well, I guess everybody knows me as Fred.
Oh, we'll bleep that.
That's – but they would say – this guy covers the Lakers, and this guy has a show about the Lakers, and this guy blah, 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 Lakers. And the first question is always, hey, are they ever going to be good again? Like, are we just always going to be stuck in this rut of relying on the lottery? And I thought Rob Palenka had a good quote about it, and I likened it. Let's read the actual quote, and then I'll use the analogy that I wrote about it on the in the article for Silver Screen and Roll that I wrote about it. Quote, Magic and I have a real level of confidence and optimism. This is Palenka to Tanya Ganguly of the Los Angeles Times. Again, quote, our trust is in hard work and kind of just the pursuit of excellence with everything we do. It's not contingent on getting or not getting the pick. On getting the pick or not getting the pick. And I use the analogy of like, are you a gambler? I couldn't see you being a gambler.
I've actually done pretty well when I have gambled, but I'm not much of a gambler. It makes me very nervous.
But there are some times when, like, I walk into a casino and I know exactly how much money I have in my pocket, and I have a goal of, like, what I'd like to be able to make so that I could have a continued good time at in Vegas or whichever casino I happen to be in. And when I have that goal in mind, I find that I hit that goal way less frequently than, like, if I walk in and I just think, well, I have $20 in my pocket, or I have whatever I have to be able to gamble, and whatever happens, happens. But I'm not relying on it as any kind of source of income moving forward for the trip, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of analogous to what the Lakers are going through right now, where Palenka's saying, look, we would love to be able to keep this pick, and we would love it if luck works out and we have not just this pick but the pick in 2019, and we have those assets to be able to continue to work with. But I think he realizes that the Lakers would be in trouble if they relied upon that luck as I guess seriously as they have in the last couple years, right? Where the last few years it's been, all right, well, we need to keep this pick and we need these picks to work out, or else we are going to continue to be in the lottery moving forward. And I think by reinvesting into the organization, reinvesting into the scouting department, the analytics department, whichever the lack of a bartender department that they are going to be, you know, invested or not invested into, the Lakers are basically going about this and saying, look, it'd be great if we could have some luck, but we need to make our own luck. And I think that's how they should have been working this entire time. But Jim Buss wasn't very good at his job.
I mean, I think that they want to deal with the kind of luck that every team has to deal with and not lottery luck necessarily anymore to keep these assets. Like, every team winning require building a good team requires luck to some degree. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of luck that they want. And winning games requires luck to some degree. Like, those are the types of luck they want to be talking about, not lottery luck.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you look at the Warriors, right? They got lucky to a certain extent that Steph Curry's ankles were basically paper mache for the first few years of his tenure there, and because of that, they had him at a way cheaper rate than they might have if he showed this type of talent and this type of health throughout his time with Golden State. And had they had him to a more expensive contract, they don't have the ability to sign Kevin Durant, right? And if they don't have Steph at the insanely low rate that they had him.
And Draymond Green, like, nobody knowing that he was going to be as good as he was and getting him for fairly cheap.
Right. And you know, the salary cap raising at the same time as Steph being on that insanely cheap deal. Like, all these things fell into play. And even though the Warriors quite stupidly, you know, went around talking about how they're light years ahead of everybody else, I think if they were to be really honest with themselves, they would say, yeah, that was insanely lucky, right?
Like, I think pretty much everybody other than their owner knows that they're insanely lucky.
Yeah, and you can look on the other side of the what's probably going to be the finals, right? With Cleveland, they had to win three straight lotteries.
They were in the middle of, like, a botched rebuild. Like, they had blown a first round, the first overall pick on Anthony Bennett.
Uh-huh. And in order to be able to make a trade and get Kevin Love over there, they had to win another lottery to get Andrew Wiggins. And I think their chances at winning that lottery – no, was it the Anthony Bennett one where they
– There was one of them where they were substantially lower.
Yeah. But either way, like, they had insane luck, and they turned that luck into the ability to convince LeBron James that he should maybe think about going back over there. Right.
Yeah. And that he was at the right time in his career where he was like, I'm ready to go back home and win a championship for Cleveland.
Yeah. And all of these things took immense luck. And so the Lakers are going to need some of that luck. You know, it would be lucky if the Lakers, you know, if D'Angelo Russell takes this huge leap next year, or Brandon Ingram takes a huge leap.
Now recurring guest Brandon Ingram makes a huge leap.
Yeah. Like, that would be huge for the franchise. And that would be, you know, pretty lucky if Brandon Ingram shows improvement that doesn't align with his rookie year, right? Like, if his improvement takes a huge step forward, you know, and isn't consistent with the improvement that he showed last year, that would be lucky to a certain extent. And
I think he will. Like, I think going into his second year, he's going to be older. He knows what he has to work on this summer. Like, he's going to be ready for that.
Yeah, and but the Lakers there, by revitalizing their player development team there, they're hoping that they can help him there and kind of make their own luck.
Yeah, and, like, Julius Randle is, like, working out in alleyways this offseason. Yeah. He's going to be straight up, like, running through guys next year.
Yeah.
I still can't get past that from last week. Go to Silver Screen and Roll and look at it. But Julius Randle on Snapchat, for some reason, was, like, working out in an alleyway behind, like, a 7-Eleven. Like, I want to know the story behind that. Because that is the grittiest workout I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, with one medicine ball and one old tire.
Yeah. Like, what was he even doing?
They said he was working on his Eurostep based on that one tweet.
Okay. Well, then he was working on his Eurostep behind, like, an AM/PM or something.
Hey, Randall, if you have any questions on how to get better with your Eurostep,
you know who not to talk to, and it's Anthony. I'll tweet that Vine after we're done recording this show.
Oh, man. I'm never, ever, ever going to live that down.
No, there's going to be a sequel this summer in Vegas.
Yeah, if I'm ever
We're going to record sick. A podcast while you try to do Euro steps.
Like every...
On a
every,
gondola.
Every other word is going to be like, I'm going to be far away from the mic because I'm going to be jumping back and forth away from my mic. I'm cool with that. All right, that does it, though. This was a fun episode. We tried to keep this one a little bit lighter because the Lakers
You might
are,
be very sad tonight. There's yeah. a chance.
what we're going to try to do, though, if you're listening to this before the lottery, what we're going to try to do is Harrison's going to try to come up, and we are going to try to stream our actual live responses to the lottery, either playing out for or against the Lakers. We'll see how that goes. I, at the very least, will be on Facebook Live. It's just a matter of whether we can get Harrison up here at the same time as well. So tune in for that.
We'll set up a GoFundMe for my gas. But no, speaking of that, we do have for those of you that – this is a little bit impromptu. I didn't tell Anthony I was going to do this. But for those of you that are fans of the podcast, if you've enjoyed this episode, if you've enjoyed any of our episodes, anything like that, we have a Patreon page set up. Like, we do this as a labor of love. We love podcasting together, but we also have to make a living. And any little bit that you guys can chip in, we don't charge for the podcast. It's free. If you want to go on listening to it for free, that's fine. But if any little amount that you can kick into our Patreon page and help us out, it helps.
And we're going to be coming up with, new
content. A few ideas for Patreon contributors.
Yeah, just so that, just so that you aren't paying for exactly what everybody else out there isn't paying for. So... That's going to be in the works. Good idea shouting that out. Thank you to ZipRecruiter for sponsoring this episode. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers to try out their great product for free. I have really enjoyed utilizing it thus far to see if I could find a new co-host. Harrison, you. Oh, yeah, I forgot you were there. Shoot.
Yeah, it seems like that happens a lot.
We will be back at it again. On Wednesday, I believe, right? We're going to be back at this again on Wednesday.
Yeah, we're going to. So this week, we got this one. We're coming out with an episode tomorrow, lottery reaction. And then we're going to go Friday. We're trying to get a guest together for you.
Yes. So I hope everybody enjoyed this.
And thanks to Brandon Ingram for coming on, even though, I didn't get to go on that part. But thank you for talking to Anthony. I know how hard that can be.
He said, after the episode, we talked for a little bit afterward, and he was like, "You usually have a co-host? Like, why do you even have a co-host?"
I'm sure that's real, and you're not making it up at all.
We'll talk to everybody again tomorrow.